We're going to review a little bit what we saw the previous week. We had seen the Rambam's introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, and the Rambam had raised the issues as to what is Gan Eden, Olam Haba, Tzchiyas HaMetim. And the Rambam had said that there are two types of pleasure. There's the physical and there's the spiritual. And we're going to pick up on page Kuf Lamed Ches in Rav Kapach's edition, the rightmost column, the Intit Bonen, where there's a period. We're going to run through the first section because we've seen it already. The Intit Bonen minyan shnei tanugim halalu tinsa shafrut tanug had velionut hashini. If you analyze these two forms of pleasure, you'll recognize how degradable one is and how praiseworthy and exalted the other one is. Afilu ba'olam hazeh, and even in this world we could discern that. Sh'arei anu motzim rov bnei adam v'ulai kulam metzilim anasham begufam aman v'igiyah she'en lemala mehem kidei la'asig gzula she'yichabdu bnei adam. People are willing to undergo great difficulties in order to attain what people value as being great, or that people should honor a person. People are willing to undergo a lot in order to achieve that, that others will honor them. And this pleasure is not a physical, it's not that you're eating or drinking. And so too we find many people would rather see themselves avenged, see sweet revenge, rather than many of life's amenities. People value that more. And many people hold themselves back, they constrain themselves from getting some of the greatest physical pleasures, because they're concerned that they'll be embarrassed, people will degrade them, or in order to have a good reputation. So people don't do certain things, even though on a physical level they know they're going to get a lot of pleasure out of it, and yet they don't do it because they don't want to be shamed by other people. What is shame? It's not something physical. What is attaining a good name, having people respect you? That's not something physical. So we see throughout our lives we do forego things that are physical for something which isn't physical. And if this is our situation in this physical world, certainly when we'll attain a spiritual world, and that is the world to come, where our souls, our nefesh, will be able to attain and perceive, connect to God as the greater beings, more spirituals do, or maybe even beyond what they perceive. That pleasure cannot be discerned, it cannot be described. And we can't really even find an allegory to compare that pleasure. But rather, just as the prophet, when he saw it and he marveled at the strength of that pleasure, he said, "Marav tuvcha, how awesome, how great is your good, the good that asher safanta li reyecha, that you've hidden for those that are fearful of you, God. Pa'alta lachosim ba, you have enacted that good that's waiting for those who have taken coverage in you." V'chacham u'aleim ha'shalom, and so our sages said, may they rest in peace. Ha'olam haba en bo lo achila v'lo shtiyah v'lo chitza v'lo tzcha v'lo tashmish. The world to come, there's no eating, there's no drinking, there's no washing, there's no anointing, there's no marital relations. Ela tzadikim yashvim, but rather tzadikim are sitting, ta'atroteim v'rashihim, their crowns are on their heads, v'neinim niziv ha'shchina, and they enjoy the ziv ha'shchina, whatever that is, the rays of the shchina. V'akavana, and what our sages meant, v'omro atroteim v'rashihim, when they say that every tzadik is wearing their crown on their head, that they mean kiyum hanefesh b'kiyum muskala v'yota hi b'hu davar achad. They mean that the nefesh, the soul, remains, and the soul connects with the connect with the things that with the thought process, ordinarily we think there are two separate things. There's what a person thinks, I think I should do something, and then bottom line I don't do it. There's a gap between what we think we should do, between our thought processes and our actions. And there's that same gap between us and God. It's identical. We do what we please. When the alarm clock rings in the morning, we know we should get up. That's our thought. And we also know that usually we hit the snooze button. So there's a gap between what we know we should do and what we actually do. There's a gap between where we should be and where we are. And that same gap is the gap between us and Hashem. We know where we should be in our actions, and we know that we're not there. And that gap is what in the world to come is non-existent. A person unites with what he should be, and therefore he also unites with his Creator. Just as the great philosophers mentioned, but to start expounding on what they say, it will be too lengthy for here. The Amru and our sages describe the world to come as a place where Ne'anim Iziva Shechina, we enjoy the rays of the Shechina, Kolomar She'otam Anfashot Ne'enot B'ma She'maskilot Min HaBoreh. Those souls enjoy what they perceive of the Creator, what they can attain of the Creator. Just as the holy angels, the different levels of angels, one level is called Chayot HaKodesh, they too attain pleasure, if we can use that term, with what they can attain of the Creator. One way of understanding this, if you ever had someone you really liked, if you had ever had someone who you really adored, someone who you really wanted to be close to, then part of what happens is that you want to connect with that person. And connecting with that person can reach a level where when you're not together you feel like you're missing something. And it's not that you want to control the person, I want to know what you're doing every second of the day, but rather the connection that a person feels drives them to want to be connected with that person at all times, and to, so to speak, know the person. The connection that we have intellectually, that connection can spill over into a marital connection, can spill over into other things, but that is really the source of connection that we have with other people. The more we value someone, the more we want to be connected to that person, the more we want to really know what's going on by that person and to feel that connection. If we would only know what God was, then we'd want to connect to God. The more we understand God, the more we want to connect to God. People sometimes think in order to understand God, you have to look at the great constellations. And one of the things that God teaches us is that in the most minuscule things, in the tiniest things, you can also see God. The Makos begin in our parsha with great things. The Nile turns to blood. Horde of frogs attacks Egypt, and then we come to a tiny maka, a life, the maka which is so small that you can't even really, you can barely see it, and that maka is the one where the Egyptian magicians cannot duplicate that maka. Specifically in the small things one can recognize God, or the Rambam writes in the halacha, the Rambam writes that we could recognize God either through the great things or the very small things. In both areas we could recognize God. And when we do recognize God, when we see how awesome God is, that should drive us to want to connect to God. And connecting to an extent is understanding. So when we describe, when the Rambam describes the pleasures of the world to come, the Rambam says that those pleasures are the understanding. That's the connection with Hashem which is waiting in the world to come. V'hineh ha'osho v'atachlit ha'sofit hi la'gei la'ma'amad hazeh ha'morumam. The ultimate pleasure is to attain this great level, v'li'matze be'oto ha'matav v'kiyum ha'nefesh, and to remain in that state, and to continue remaining in that state. כמו שאמרנו, עד בלי סוף בקיום הבורא יתרומם שפחו, שהוא סיבת קיומה בהשגחתה אותו, כמו שמגדור פילוסופיה הראשונה. As we explained, that the world to come is something that is endless. It is contingent on God being around, and God being around is endless. וזהו הטוב, yeah? That was clear? Simple, yeah. וזהו הטוב העצום שאין טוב להקישו אליו ולא עונג לדמותו בו. And this is the great good which nothing can be compared to it, no pleasure could be compared to it. ואיך ידמה הקיים שאין לו תכלית בדבר העבד? How could you compare something that has no eternal, does have an end, it is finite, to something which is infinite? והוא אמרו יתעלה למען יתב לך וערכת הימים, and that's why the Torah describes it, that perform the mitzvah so it'll be good for you and you'll have longevity. ובא בקבלה לידיהם בפירושו, and we have a tradition that was the mean למען יתב לך, that it'll be good for you, לעולם שכולו טוב, that person will obtain a world that is all good. וערכת הימים לעולם שכולו ארוך, and you'll have longevity, that's a world that is in essence longevity, just keeps going. What does the word Olam Haba mean? So we think it's the world to come. But there's another understanding, and that is Olam, the world Haba, where you keep having a future. Haba means to come. There will continue coming. The world which continues. One of the things that hinder our pleasures in this world is the fact that we know it's finite. Someone once said, from the minute a baby is born, he's dying. Every minute we know where the end is. Who? So some want to say this is the explanation of the verse that God told Adam, on the day you eat from the first fruit, I want you to know that die you will certainly die. So we know Adam ate from the first fruit and he didn't die that minute. He didn't die on that day. So we say that the generally accepted understanding is it was Hashem's day, 1,000 years. That's that God gave that interpretation to the curse. But there's another understanding that says on the day you eat from it, you will begin a dying period. That's why it says mot tamut. Die, you will certainly die. It will be a dying procession which will end with death. Meaning the second that God decreed there would be death in the world after Adam ate from Eitz HaDaas, so from that moment on, all of his life was a process towards dying. It's interesting that the word Tov, we say the world to come, is a world that is all good, is all Tov. And you'll notice in Tanakh that the word Tov always represents connection. A person connecting with his wife is called Tov. A person who is single is called Lot Tov. The land of Israel is where we connect to Hashem. The Temple Mount is Tov, is Hahara Tov, the good mountain. The Bet HaMikdash is called Tov. Everything that's connection, that represents connecting between man and his wife, man and his fellow man, is always called Tov. And the opposite is not Tov. So the world to come, which is the world where we can connect to Hashem, is a world that is all Tov. V'hanekama gmura, and the greatest vengeance that God leaves in this world, shetichareta ha'nefesh, that the soul gets cut off, v'te'aved, and will be lost, v'shelo yeh la kiyum, and it won't have any existence. V'hu ha'kareta amur b'Torah, and that is what the Torah means, and the Torah says cut off. That if a person performs certain sins, he gets karet, he gets cut off, means cut off from this connection, from this eternity. V'inyan ha-karet, ha-chasat ha-nefesh. And the, when we say karet, being cut off, means the soul is cut off. Moshe b'yel v'amar, just as the verse explained, hi-karet, hi-karet ha-nefesh ha-hi, v'amru aleim ha-shalom, our sages say, what does it mean, hi-karet, hi-karet, the double verse of being cut off? Hi-karet, it will be cut off, v'olam hazeh, in this world. Hi-karet, it will be cut off, v'olam ba, in the next world. Meaning a person has both. Person, if he performs certain sins, he eats the fats that are forbidden, many things the Torah says life karet, so then it means being cut off in this world to have a shorter life and in the world to come. We saw that when Abigail came and saved David HaMelech, King David, from sinning, she said, and my master's soul should be saved in the world of the living. V'chol mi sheshakab tanugot agufaniyot v'ezniach et ha'emet, and any person who let himself indulge and sink in the physical pleasures and he left the truth by the wayside, v'edif et hashav, and he preferred that which was really false, nichan me'oto ha'segev, he gets cut off from this eternity. V'yishael chomer mufrat v'ilvad, and if a person focused on the physical, so he remains with the physical that's cut off, and that's all he has, because that's all he invested in. And the prophet already explained, "Shalom abay non nisag bechushim agufaniim," that the world to come is not something we can perceive with our physical senses. Vehu omro, and that's what the prophet said. Ein nora ata, no eye has ever seen the world to come. Elokim zulatecha, only you, God, saw it. Yaselam chakelo, that what you have prepared for those that are waiting for you. V'amru beferush davar ze kol anvim kulam lo nitnabu el alimot hamshiach. And our sages explain, every good tiding you hear in the prophets, they're talking about the days of the Messiah. Aval ha'olam haba, but the world to come, ein lo ra'ata alukim zulatecha, no one saw it. No one can tell you what's waiting for you in the world to come. We don't know. We have some kind of description about the souls being eternal and connecting to God, but beyond that we don't know. All the descriptions that we see in the prophets about positive things happening to the Jewish people, that's talking about the days of the Messiah. אבל ההבטחות והבחן האמורים בתורה עניינם כמו שעבר לה. Now, this is, I think, no, we'll continue a few more minutes. But the promises that the Torah gives us of good and promises of bad, that the Rambam says is as follows. שהוא אומר לך, אם תקיים את המצוות הללו אזורך על קיומן והשלמות להן. If you perform the mitzvot, the Torah says, I will help you for your performance and the wholeness that you attain through the mitzvot. God is prompting us, he will remove all the hindrances. A person can't really serve his creator when he is ill, when he is suffering of hunger, or of thirst, nor when he is in a situation of war. ולכן הבטיח בעשרת כל אלה. And that's why the Torah promises us that if we perform the Torah, we won't be sick, we won't be hungry, we won't be thirsty, we won't have war. ושיהיו בריאים ושלבים, will be healthy and peaceful, כדי שתשלם להם הידיעה, so that a person who performs the Torah will be able to attain whole understandings, ויזכו לחיי עולם הבא, and inherit the world to come. So when the Torah promises us that things will go well if we perform the Torah isn't saying that's the reward you get for performing the Torah. The Torah is saying, if you show me that you want to perform the Torah, then I'll help you in performing the Torah. I'll give you the things that are necessary in order to perform. נמצא שאין תכלית התורה שתדשן האדמה ויאריכו ימים ויבריאו הגופות. So the Rambam is making a very important point. He's saying, you read the Torah, and the Torah makes us promises. If you perform the Torah, things will go well for you. We read in Shema. Vayayim Shema Tishmehu, if you listen to the words of the Torah, so then you'll have plenty, you'll have rain, you'll have a lot of crops, everything will go well. It seems like the whole purpose of the Torah is the physical. The Torah is telling us, you perform the Torah, and I'll give you all these great physical things. So the Rambam is saying, no, that's not what the Torah is saying. The purpose of the Torah is not so that we will all be healthy and everything will go well for us. And the land will give forth plenty. Ela yazru al kiyuma bechol dvarim halalu. the Torah is simply saying, if you perform the Torah, so I'll help you in the performance and I'll give you these blessings so you can continue performing the Torah. V'chein im avru v'yeh onsham sheyavo aleihem kol otam ha-masurim. So too, if a person transgresses, so he's not interested in keeping the Torah, so part of the punishment is that now he won't have the sustenance, ad shelo yuchal la'asot tov, so he won't even be able to do good. Uchmo shamar, as the verse states, tachta shelo avata et Hashem. God says, I'll give you troubles, I'll give you wars. Why? Because you didn't serve Hashem out of a good heart. Now, this is a very important point. Sometimes we see that a person is ill. They say, well, I couldn't learn Torah, I was ill. So I have on tradition from my Rebbeim that when a person shows God that he puts his all into learning Torah, then God helps him that other things work out so he could continue learning Torah. If God makes it that things are going well, and a person says, yeah, I'll go take care of this, I'll go take care of that, and he doesn't learn Torah, so then God says, okay, you didn't take advantage of the time I gave you, so now I'll give you real problems to take care of. And the Rambam is saying that this is how we're to understand the blessings and the curses in the Torah. When the Torah tells us, you keep the Torah, I'll give you good parnasa, I'll make things peaceful, I'll make things go well, the Torah isn't saying the whole purpose of keeping the Torah is that you should have physical good. You keep the Torah and I'll make things good for you. The Torah is saying, if you show me that you want to keep the Torah, then I'll try to help you with the other things all around so that you will be able to continue keeping the Torah. If when I give you all the blessings, you don't take advantage of that, but rather you're not in keeping with of the Torah, in spite of the fact that God gave the blessings, so God says, okay, so then I'll take away the blessings. But it's not that these are the so to speak, purposes of the Torah. Keep the Torah so things will go well, and if you won't, things will go bad. It's just that God's saying, this is part of helping ensure that you keep the Torah. I want you to keep the Torah, and if you do, so I'll help you in what it takes to continue keeping the Torah. We have to realize that sometimes we think we need things that we don't really need. Very often we say, I need. Do we really need 10 different shirts? Do we really need a car? Do we really need half the things that we say we need? It's a good question. I mean, I have relatives coming to the United States all the time. When they come to our apartment, I don't know if you guys, some of you haven't been there yet. So you come to the living room, and it's about the size of three tables like this, or 2.5 tables like this. Not so big. And there's room for a table and everyone to sit around it, but that's about it. But that's fine. Do we need more than that? We don't need more than that. My relatives come in and they all start saying, you're living in such a small house, such cramped quarters, you need to get a bigger house. I say, I don't know, I'm perfectly happy. I don't think I need to get a bigger house. I'm happy. I'm not. I need a bigger house. Why? My mother always says the story of a South American fisherman who went to the river, and he sits in the morning, he casts out his rod, and he catches a big fat fish. He sits back and leans under the sun, and in the middle of the day he cuts open the fish, and he has a meal for his family, and he enjoys the rest of the day. And there's a businessman who came from the United States. He's coming, and he's there on vacation, and he's sitting under a tree, and he sees this poor Mexican going out there and fishing, and sees he catches a real big fish after 5 minutes. And then he goes to lie down under a tree. So he goes over to the Mexican and he tells him, is that all you're going to do today? He says, yeah. He says, but sir, if you would only spend more time, if you'd spend your day catching fish, you know how much money you can make with fish like that? The Mexican says, yeah, and then what? He says, well, if you can make that money, then you'd be able to buy more fishing rods and be able to fish and get a slew of people under you, and they would fish, and then be able to sell and make more money. He says, yeah, and then what? And then he says, look, I work like that day and night, and then I can take vacation, and I fly out here to Mexico, sit here under the trees. So he tells him, yeah, but I do that with catching one fish a day. I should work all day to get to where you are here today. So the question is, what are we aspiring for? What do we really need? The Torah says, if you perform the Torah, I'll give you what you need so you can continue performing the Torah. Well, if that list of what we need is very, very long, then I'm not sure that that's what the Torah means. The Chashel Pitbonen, Hitbonenut Nifla'a Zo, And when you look and you recognize this amazing point, says the Rambam, Tinsashu Keilu Amar, you'll recognize that as though the Torah says, Im asita mitzat elu amitzvot be'ahava v'charitzut, if you do these few mitzvot that the Torah says with love, and charitzut could be translated as diligence or alacrity, Ezocha al kulam, I'll help you perform all of them. I'll remove all the things that would hinder you from fully performing the Torah. And if you left some of the mitzvahs by the wayside, mitoch zilzul, because you don't really value them, avi alecha ma'akavim, then I will bring you hindrances, shi'akavucha mikulam, that will hinder you from performing all of them. Ad shelo tasig shleimut v'lo kiyum, to you won't attain, the Torah says, not a wholeness nor really self-preservation. V'zeu inyan umram alehem ha-shalom, and that's what our sages meant. Chal mitzvah, the merits of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, the ability to perform another mitzvah. Chal mitzvah, the merit of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. So people thought that means there's no wages, God doesn't pay you anything in the world to come. No, our sages were stressing, if you perform a mitzvah, God, part of the wages God pays back is that you can perform another one. And the wages for the performance of an Avera is another Avera, because God says, if you did Averas and I made things good for you, so I'll make it that you won't be able to help yourself. If we go in a certain route, so God helps us continue in that route. So what we've seen today is that the Rambam defined Olam Haba as the world to come, as a world of pleasures that we cannot really understand. We gave certain ways of understanding it, but bottom line, it's something beyond our perception. The Rambam said that when a person first encounters it, a person will not value it and will not want to attain it. But if a person thinks about it and spends time thinking about it, he will appreciate the value of the world to come and what is promised there. The Rambam began with a long introduction explaining how what our sages say has to be understood in depth. And the Rambam also introduced things by saying that the average person is first attracted to the physical. You tell a person, learn Torah so you can make $1 million, who's interested in $1 million and not in the Torah, even though Torah is more valuable. But we're not on a level where we could be more interested in the Torah than $1 million. So the Rambam said, by the same token, I'm going to try to explain to you that the world to come is something spiritual. It's going to be very complicated for a person to really want to attain that. And that's why our sages, so to speak, cushioned their descriptions with physical terms. They described the world to come as something that's physical, even though really they were speaking in allegorical terms. They didn't mean that it was physical, but they used those terms for the simple person who, if told that the world to come were something spiritual, would say, I don't need that. Let me do what I want. I'm not interested. So just like a child, when he starts learning him, you offer him candies, and then as he matures, you offer him better things, until finally he reaches a level where you could explain to him the value of the learning. So too, when people begin performance of mitzvahs, we begin by telling them, perform, because there's a world that's really good, and if you don't perform, then there's a place called perdition, where people are hanging by their eyeballs, and there are pools of steaming water, and the heat of perdition is 60 times the hottest fire in this world. And we tell them the descriptions that the Gemara says, because the average person, if you don't scare him with something physical, he's not interested. You don't tell him something physical positive, he's not interested. But in truth, the world to come and perdition are not things that are physical, they are things that are spiritual. And that's what the Rambam explains to us today. If we're not attracted and we're not scared of the world to come and perdition, that's perfectly normal. The Rambam began by saying that the average person is not on a level to really understand or want any of this. But we have read it. The Rambam does write this in his introduction, obviously something he wanted everyone to know, because this introduction was written for the average person, that's why it was written in Arabic. So today we finished understanding Olam Haba. The Rambam ended off with giving us like a bonus, explaining that when the Torah does give us promises of physical things, there the Torah is speaking in literal terms. The Torah means to say that if we perform the mitzvot, then God will help us in the physical things that we need in order to continue performing the mitzvot. And the punishment that the Torah seems to simply say, you don't keep the Torah, then God says, I'll bring war to the world, I'll bring famine to the world, I'll bring need to the world. So then that, the Rambam says, is to be understood simply, that God is saying, if you don't perform the Torah, then I'll help you in not performing the Torah, so to speak, then I'll push you along that path, I'll give you other hindrances. And that's where we left off, and next week, God willing, we will define Gan Eden, Tchiyas HaMeisim, and Yemot HaMashiach, which will bring us to the 13 principles. So I think we have one more week before we start the 13 principles. Any questions still here?
Yeah. I don't know if it's directly related. We're talking about God, reward for the reason. And the reason is this. Is learning Torah and getting a certain amount of money considered smart in any way?
It could be, but that's something we've discussed. It's on the web. And I'll be happy to discuss again, and God willing, in 6 days or Thursday night, with could ask with everyone, remind me, and we'll deal with that. Okay? Yeah? That depends. depends what? In general, you could speak about it, yeah. It depends what.